2023 Prophetic School is here. It's a place where you hear God's voice clearly. So, get set for an encounter. Ministry, Pastor Benga Shafe, be blessed as you listen.
How do I discern the voice of God? How do I discern? This is like what everybody's talking about. I want to know, because God is always talking. So it's not like, oh, I want to know. God is God talking? No, God is talking. The problem here mostly is that most of us do not know if it's actually God. You see, and I want you to please pay attention to the language that I use. The language here is discern. Discern. So over time, you get better at it. You get used to it. And almost at the split of a second, you can almost tell that the Lord has just spoken to you. I want to read from Psalms chapter 46 and verse 10. The word of God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. So Psalm 46, 10 gives us the first blueprint to discerning the voice of God. And that is to maintain a quiet spirit. Praise God. I wish somebody just caught that right now. Okay, to maintain a quiet spirit. He said, be still and know. So for those of you who are in the prophetic, you have something we call knowings. You are a knower. You say, this is where the concept of knower, you know, comes from. You know, be still and know. Not be still and hear. This dimension of stillness brings knowings. Brings knowings. It's like God is downloading into your spirit. And your mind is catching up on that revelation. God is saying that it is when you are still in your heart that you will know that He is God and that He is already exalted in the earth. So this is foundationally at the back of the context of discerning the mind or the voice of God. If not, the Lord could jolly well be speaking and you would not be able to discern that He is the one. In Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8, the word of God also gives us another interesting angle to the subject of discerning the voice of God. Look at Psalm 34, 8. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, this is such a very beautiful thing. You know, this particularly was what helped me realize that it was possible for a Christian to have, a prophetic person to have a spiritual sense of taste and smell. All right? Spiritual sense of taste and smell. And I've had that experience, and I've also had the experience especially with sense, you know, perception, you know, being able to smell things that others in the same environment cannot perceive. Okay, that had always been with me, and I didn't really understand what was really going on because I didn't know anybody who had, you know, spoken about it or who was having that experience until much later. You know, I ran into a particular man online. His name is Jeremy Wilson. Jeremy Wilson is a prophet. He's a white American, and he operates this taste and, you know, smell thing. You know. And you may want to look him up online, you know, on YouTube. Very great guy. All right. So there is the taste dimension. And then there is the perception, you know, where you're able to discern. Every sensory organ that your body has, your spirit also has. All right. Your spirit also has. You can see in the spirit, you can hear, you can taste, you can discern, you know. So those things are there. And there are people that is the primary way the Lord communicates with them. You know, I remember that many times when I'm preaching, I just have that sense sometimes of fresh olive being crushed from the tree. And over time, I have come to understand that this relates to the anointing that is at work at that particular time. Okay, when operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Lord may communicate with you, not with voices, but with sensations, spiritual sensations. Sometimes some of you will find that you have this electrifying feeling that courses through your body when the anointing of the Holy Spirit is flowing. I particularly have noted an electrifying sensation, like strong voltage, electrical voltage in my left hand. Okay. And many times when that has happened, I have come to identify it with the healing anointing. It could be there for like 5 minutes, and anybody I pray for in that moment will be healed instantly. Okay. So these are communication tools. And I'm saying this to disabuse the mind of many people who are trying to discern the voice of God, and they are looking for voices instead of the mind of God. The Lord might be speaking to you through many other ways that may not include a voice. But yet, if you get the message, then it is His voice. All right? So the Lord could speak through so many channels. And that is why the concept of purifying your mind, keeping yourself sanctified, is very, very important. So what is the voice of God? This is the intelligent utterance of the Almighty God. The voice of God is the intelligent utterance. When God speaks, it provides clearance and guidance on His position on a subject matter. So God will not leave you confused and all of that. And if, for instance, somebody has been saying to you, oh, the Lord is telling me that you are going to relocate abroad, but every time you look at yourself, you find yourself in Mushi or at Abuja or somewhere. Look, you got to stay where you are. Because at some point, the Lord would confirm that particular word to you. Maybe when we come back for the next prophetic school, we are going to be talking about understanding prophetic timings and seasons. Because most times people have a genuine word, but they have a wrong timing to it. And then it now begins to look like they didn't hear God's voice. All right. So the voice of God is the intelligent utterance of the Almighty God. The voice of God is the position of heaven on any matter. The voice of God, when the Lord says to you, you cannot marry Lekan, QED, going to another pastor to help you repackage the matter is not going to change God's mind. Please understand that your pastor or prophet can pray, but only Jesus can answer prayers. So don't be deceived to think that after, clear warnings that you should not go into a particular relationship, you are hoping that maybe with time, God will change His mind. God will not change His mind. Go and look for somebody else. All right? So the voice of God is God's position, is the position of heaven on any subject matter, such that to deviate from that position is to expose yourself. To expose yourself. And a lot of Christians are exposed because they are taking their position behind a particular matter because of the supposed gain, especially in the area of business or relationships or something that was supposed to have some kind of immense reward system. Okay, so you have to be careful. The moment your emotions are too involved in a matter, your possibility or chance of perceiving or discerning the will of God has been reduced by over 50%. The voice of God is also the creative tool by which God calls us. The voice of God is the creative tool with which God calls into being. The voice of God is the creative tool with which God calls anything into being, whether they are spiritual or natural. The voice of God is the written word of God in the proceeding and active form. Let me repeat that. The voice of God is His written word in a proceeding, in an active form. So don't go open anywhere in the Bible where Satan spoke and say it's the word of God. That's not the word of God. God was not the only one who spoke in the Bible. Satan spoke, Judas spoke, Adam spoke, a lot of people spoke. So you have to be sure that you are making reference to something that the Lord actually said. Okay, the voice of God is His written word. That means the word of God is living and active, and powerful. It moves. Every time God's word comes forth, it pushes people into action. Okay, so there's some kind of science to God's voice, to discerning God's voice. Number one, for when God speaks, there is no other wisdom or knowledge that can go against that utterance. So there is no wisdom or knowledge. There is no enchantment against Jacob. There is nothing that anybody could do to go against the voice of God. Because when God speaks, there is no other knowledge or wisdom. Before God speaks on any matter, his wisdom has been fully factorized to such degree that any other thing would be deemed to be outside the will of God. I've heard people talk about the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. Please let me beg you, just delete the permissive will of God. Delete it. Don't let it exist in your head. Because a lot of people are dealing with this, in quote, permissive will of God until they finally moved out from the will of God. So people are always looking for, I don't need 70 marks. I just want to have 55, like as though it was an exam. You know, I just want to have 55, if at all 58 or 60. That's the permissive will of God, when you are dancing from between 50 and 60. But God says, I want you to be 70 and above, which is the will of God. So if you don't understand and discern how this thing works, you say, after all, Kunle is not, yes, Kunle is not perfect, but he's also a Christian. He's going to church. Kunle is not a bad person. You know, this other person that God is asking you to marry looks like he's going to be a pastor. And pastors, a lot of them, they suffer. But Kunle is an investment banker, you see. Kunle, if you have a project, he can give you money to support your project. He won't say, let us pray. He will just do a transfer. Kunle does transfers easily. Kunle takes Uber. Kunle doesn't take yellow buses. Kunle doesn't stand at the park. So by the time you are weighing it, somewhere in your mind, you are already dancing. Hey, who even knows who is going to be a Christian? Let's just trust God and do what we have to do. That is how many people got into problems. And by the time they started running up and down, looking for prayers, it was not easy to resolve the issue because the foundation was already broken from the very onset. Don't marry somebody because you got pregnant for him. Don't marry somebody because she looks like your mother. Don't marry somebody because the brother looks as caring as your late father. Those are dangerous reasons for which a person will say it is God's will. And I hope somebody, and I believe maybe I'm speaking to somebody here. Now, let me go ahead. The voice of God is not an idea, and it is not a fancy word we may claim to receive in a meeting. There are some of these groups, and we have quite a number of them in Lagos. They call them some kind of prophetic groups and all of that, where they teach people how to prophesy. And I'm really, really concerned here because I understand what they are trying to do, but it's a very dangerous thing they are doing. If I'm praying for you and I say, okay, so it's just like telling somebody who wants to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay, say ba, ba, say ma, ma, say bama, bama. Okay, continue saying it. And the person now starts speaking in tongues. Hello, you are playing with fire. It's the same thing when somebody says, everybody here is going to prophesy. And then they say, okay, say whatever comes to your mind. And then I say, I can smell porridge with goat meat, lots of goat meat. Now, that may be a prophecy, but I hope you also know that it was porridge somebody ate in the Bible and lost his birthright. I hope you know. Now, you don't train somebody to become proficient in prophecy through the flesh. They have to be trained by faith. These are dangerous things a lot of people are doing, trying to do a lot of fancy, give fancy words for the flower and the fragrance of your spirit and the dimensions of the supernatural terrestrial realm is navigating. Yeah, I don't know what you are saying. I don't know what you are saying. You are training a lot of words, but these words are above my degree. Everything I read in school, I didn't learn all these words. You are telling me so many fancy things, especially if you are in the Lekki side of life, VI side of life. You know, you hear a lot of these fancy things. You know, Abuja. You know, for the Lord is bringing you oil wells. It's giving you take you to the seat of power. Hey, be careful. Prophecy is not a fancy word, all right? Prophecy is not a fancy word. Like you just throw words around, and because they are nice or they sound great, people's like, oh, hallelujah, that's the word of God. A lot of people have gotten into trouble for belonging to all these groups where there are no checks and balance. If somebody is saying that this is what the Lord is saying, can we please ask the other person to confirm if it is true? And it's okay to make a mistake. All right? We are talking about how to discern the voice of God and be free from error. It's the prophecy, the voice of God is not a fancy word. It's not an idea people just throw around. It is the voice of God is the authority of heaven to declare and to bring to pass. The voice of God is the authority of heaven to declare. That means when God says something, his throne must back it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right? So in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, Elijah had run away from Jezebel. And please, there's this thing about running away that every prophet must know. All right? You can't fight fire with fire every time. All right? Elijah fought fire with fire, but when it came to the subject of Jezebel, he fled. There is still no solution to the issue of, let me just put it this way, women are much stronger than men. Even though you have muscles, but the women are still stronger. So just be smart. If Elijah ran, buy some trainers, run also. All right? So this guy, you know, ran into the wilderness, and while he was there, he said there was an earthquake. And then but the Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire, but the Lord was in a still small voice. That voice, that quiet voice within your spirit, that inward voice, that inward voice within your spirit. The Lord was, this is the prophet that just called down fire. And yet, when the Lord was going to speak to him, the Lord did not speak in a spectacular way. And permit me to say this, and some of you have probably heard this, that when the Lord speaks to you, he's either going to speak in a spectacular way or a supernatural way. What most of us are looking for are the spectaculars. But what God guarantees us is the supernatural. So supernatural includes the still small voice, the inward witness. In fact, when you gave your life to Christ, you knew by the inward witness, the inner witness, that you are now a child of God. So if you pray in the spirit, feed on the word of God, and you're always in the committee of saints, listen to me, God is going to fine-tune that ability and it will be near accurate. All right? God was not in the fire, was not in the earthquake, he was in the still small voice. All right? In Exodus chapter 25, verse 16, the scripture says, the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, God called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. Are you looking at that? What are you seeing there? Moses was on the mountain for several days. The glory of God rested. I'm trying to address those of you who want to hear God now. Please see what the Exodus 24:16 is saying. Moses was on Mount Sinai. The cloud covered it for 6 days. For 6 days, and on the seventh day, that guy was there. He didn't hear a voice. So I want you to consider it completely normal. Every time you pray and you are waiting on the Lord and God is quiet, Moses was there for days. It was on the seventh day that the Lord called out to him out of the midst of the cloud. The lesson here is that the voice of God always flows strongly where you have patience and separation. Some of you say, oh, I want to hear God. I'm waiting on God. But while you are fasting, you are watching Netflix. While you are fasting, you are still going to your neighbor to discuss about the next Arsenal Man U match. Listen to me. Follow Moses. Moses separated himself and was patient for 7 days until the voice of the Lord came to him. In Psalms chapter 23 and verse 9, the word of God says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. It not only declares, the voice of God not only declares, but has in it the innate capacity to bring what it says to pass. Also, let me talk to you, because all these things I'm talking about are the nature of God's voice. The nature of God's voice. So when somebody says, God is talking to me, this are the things you should be looking out for in 1 Kings 19, 12, in Exodus 24, 16, in Psalm 23, 9. And also, let me tell you that one of the natures of God's voice is that the voice of God is strongly relational. That means that over time, when you are relating with God, there will be a pattern and a style with which you will mostly hear God. Please understand that God is very big on relationship and on his redemptive work. The heart of God's redemptive work, and by the redemptive work, I'm referring to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the price to redeem us from the law of sin and death, as a big part of his plan, which is to restore his relationship with man. So you are not going to hear God threatening you like an area boy. If God has not been speaking to you in that way before, the chances are that he's not going to talk to you in that way. If you have not been hearing God in a particular way, and you now want to hear God in that way before you are sure that Rolla Care is going to be your wife in the future, you are going to have a very big challenge. Because God always establishes trust on the strength of patterns, line upon line, precept upon precept, and his relationship with you. All right, there are people that hear God, and God refers to them by their first name. You say, David, my son. You know, speaking about Bishop Oedipo, David, my son. That's the way God talks to him. Some of us don't hear our names. God just talks to us directly. All right? So it's a direct line. All right? So the nature of God's voice is that God's voice is holy. God's voice is separated. So when somebody says, I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God. You know, go and bring your car. I need it. That may be God, but you need to weigh the Spirit and the context of how holy and separated this frequency is. All right? So you need to embrace consecration, holiness, sanctification to be able to discern when the Lord is speaking to you. And please believe me, this particular point of holiness holds the key, the master key to strong accuracy in the prophetic. You can write down 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1. All right? Key factors that help us. Let's look at the key factors that help us in discerning the voice of God. The first one is the key of time. It takes time. Not everybody will be so gifted and blessed to be able to discern the voice of God, you know, from the very first day that they become a Christian. It takes time. So that's why I said, as you walk with God, you have to understand the patterns, the principle, the lines upon line, a little here, a little there, by which God is speaking to you. There are some people, no matter how much they pray and fast, the only way God speaks to them is through dreams. There are people, no matter how much they pray and fast, and they want to have a dream, the only way God speaks to them is through their knower. So God communicates that way, and they are used to it. All right? So these things take time to develop. Initially, when you start operating these things, you will be doubting it. You will be like, is it my mind? Am I the one? Over time, you now notice that as these things come, they are actually, these prophecies are fulfilling themselves. So you now begin to realize that, oh, maybe this is how God, you know, talks to me. What is another factor that helps us in discerning the voice of God? Continuous growth and development. You know, when you know, for those of us who have children, when your children are very young, like maybe like still babies and they are trying to crawl, they may not be able to communicate with you in an intelligent way. So you have to like try to observe them and try to identify what exactly they need. But as they grow up and as they develop, the same child that could not talk will be able to communicate and have some kind of intelligent conversation with his parents. The growth factor is very significant when we are talking about discerning the voice of God. The reason why many of us are confused is because of our growth level. All right? There's a level you get to, and I'm not really joking, I'm very serious about it. There's a level you get, even if you are in a bus and there's a lot of noise, if God speaks to you, you will hear it. And you will need to pray. You will know this is God immediately. You will know. All right? Because there's an aura, there's an atmosphere, there's an authority that goes with the voice of God, even when it is a still, small voice. What is another key factor that helps us in discerning the voice of God is that for you to be able to discern the voice of God easily or very powerfully, you must have a strong desire for this experience. The word of God says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you really deserve this? You really should desire to know his voice and have a deeper relationship with God. All right. Another factor that I have found, which strangely, you know, amazes me, is that many of the people I know who are ministers or prophets or pastors who hear God very powerfully, they have a strong desire to serve God more. So sometimes when you don't say, I don't know why God is not talking to me, you are not doing anything. It's just like while I was working at the bank, you know, we could be on a project and just a few of us are in that project team. And somebody like, nobody's talking to me in this office. You are not part of the project. Every information is on a need to know. So if you are not actively, you know, serving God and engaging at that level, you may just know that maybe once in a while, God will tell you good morning. Or maybe the Lord will ask you, have you eaten today? But in terms of kingdom advancement, kingdom activity, you may not be getting anything. So many of those who say they hear God more are those who are actually in the service of God. There are some of you, you have been in your church for 6 years, 4 years. You are celebrated members. You are celebrated attendees. But you are not sons and daughters there because you don't serve there. If you were in your father's house, won't you sweep in the morning? Won't you wash your father's car? Why do we consider it a problem to serve God? Listen to me. God always talks to those who are in his service. And that may be one of the cheat codes that some of you need to know. Of course, another factor that helps you is sacrificially spending time with the Lord, especially in the place of worship, you know, putting yourself in an atmosphere of music and worship. It primes your spirit, your soul, to be able to discern the voice of God. Also, is the matter of prayer, fasting, fellowshipping with like-minded believers. All right? So that is that. And I do hope it's helping. So what I'm saying here is that instead of you to keep saying, I want to hear God, begin to put some of these structures around you. So you will just find that, you know, you begin to become very proficient in the voice of God. It's not just going to happen. You have to put sense. It's just like how do I say now? If you are treating typhoid, the doctor gives you a set of drugs. He could give you Augmentin and tells you, you need to use this drug for about 2 weeks, or 10 days, or 2 weeks, and you are on this drug. For the first day, you may not even feel any different. But as you continue exposing yourself to those medications, you start feeling very different. All these things I'm sharing with you are parameters that I put. What I'm sharing with you is how I grew. What I'm sharing with you here is not anybody's message. It's my own experience, how I grew in discerning the voice of God very strong. Somebody was saying to me that, Pastor, how come you're able to say some things that like almost near accurate? Well, I don't consider myself as very accurate, but this person just seems to feel that way. But when I really thought about what my dear sister was saying, I realized that what she was saying is that I have put certain things around my spirit. I've put certain things around my soul. So even when I'm hearing something, I can begin to process in my spirit and I know it's not God. Let me tell you some other things you need to do. If you want to discern God's voice, you must silence the other voices. Silence every other voice. And I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm going to give you about 9 voices that you need to silence. The first is you are going to silence the voice of your emotions. If you are too emotional, you cannot be strong when it comes to discerning the voice of God. Okay? You cannot be strong in it. Just forget about it. All right? The voice, your emotions, you're always ruled by your emotions. You think with your emotions and not with your spirit. You need to silence the voice of your emotions. Number two, you need to silence the voice of reason. For we brothers that like to be very rational, if it doesn't make sense, it can't be God. Listen to what I'm telling you now. The voice of reason has to be silenced because God never speaks to reason. Number three, the voice of popular opinion. The voice of popular opinion, you've got to silence that voice because this voice will put you out of the will of God. You see, go and look at the scriptures and see people like Saul, King Saul, who decided to fall to the the beckoning of his soldiers, and he offered a sacrifice, and he lost his kingdom. The voice of popular opinion is never, never the voice of God. Mankind will rarely agree with God. In fact, our Lord Jesus taught us, and he said, that broad is the way that leads to perdition. And that is the voice of popular opinion. Okay? If I may be born a man or a male, but if I choose to identify as a woman, that is popular opinion. People are going to clap for me. But it doesn't change God's position on the matter. Just because something is constitutionally right does not mean it is right before God. You have to look for those popular things that men say they are right or they are popular, but they are not of God. All right? We also have the voice of past painful experiences. The voice of past painful experience. You need to deal with this, especially if you've had some very painful and nasty experiences growing up. You need to deal with it because I noticed there are some people who have what you call blockers. They have these blockers in their soul, things that hinder them from being able to receive of God, and these painful experiences can be one of them. Another voice you need to silence is the voice of rejection. There are believers who have been in Christ for a long time, but they always feel rejected. They always feel like they are not worthy. So they are always, it's easy for them to say, to hear the voice or discern the voice of Satan than to discern the voice of God. This is also something that you need to deal with, especially maybe you never had a good relationship with your dad or with your mother, or you never had, maybe you struggled all through school, you never really had anybody to help you. Whatever represents rejection, you've got to address it. You may need to get help from your pastor or from your counselor and deal with it. You also need to silence the voice of the messianic complex. This is one aspect that swallows many powerful prophets. Please listen to me. This is one aspect that swallows many powerful prophets. That feeling of like you are extremely powerful. You know, you listen to some people, some prophets or apostles, and you're almost wondering if they are Jesus Christ. The greater the anointing, the greater the requirement for humility. That is God's position. And you need to learn this because God will always elevate the humble man and bring down the proud soul. So this is very important. Anything that makes you feel like you are so special and others are not, is going to be a very big problem. Some people lose their humanity simply because they are prophets or they are apostles or they are gifted in some ways. You know, you can't tell the difference between when you are a pastor and when you are a husband because you are always a pastor. All right? So in my house, there's no pastor. It's just me. All right? It's just me. All right? It doesn't stop me from, my gift is integrated into my status. So there's no difference. So you really have to understand how these things work. We also have the voice of the familiar. The voice of the familiar. These are voices we need to silence. The voice of the voices of things that are familiar. Oh, people expect you to do this. People expect to do that. Familiar things, you know, what everybody kind of accepts. You have to be careful because God is never really in the familiar. The voice of fear. You need to silence the voice of fear. Many cannot discern the voice of God because they are afraid. Oh, what if I'm making a mistake? What if it's not God? What if I'm not holy enough? What if? You have to silence the voice of fear and step out in faith. Finally, let me give you this before I hand over to our moderator. You need to silence the voice that tells you need to impress people. You need to silence the voice that tells you you need to impress people. You need to impress people with your gift. You need to show them you can see visions. You need to use word language like "Thus saith the Holy Ghost." Now, God doesn't speak in James, okay? And it is okay if that's your style of prophesying, but if you are doing it to make us, those of us, the small boys, you know, feel like, you know, we are not there, then it becomes a problem. If you can silence the need to impress people, your gift will grow. I'm telling you this. Don't be in a hurry to become a prophet. Don't be in a hurry to become an apostle. Be who you are meant to be today. It's a process, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. How do I develop the ability to hear the voice of God? Number one, I must prioritize personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit. These are the master keys. I'm giving you five of them right now. How to develop my ability to hear the voice of God. I must prioritize my personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I must always long to be close to the Holy Spirit. Number two, you must develop the ability over time to pray in tongues extensively. And my standard is 3 hours, minimum of 3 hours. Okay. If you can do 1 hour, it's good, it's great. But I want you to aspire for nothing less than 3 hours, maybe two or three times a week, or as grace, God will give you the grace. But make sure it's something you are doing from time to time. I have noticed personally that every time I'm able to cross these thresholds, the anointing that is upon my life, you know, escalates. It becomes very wild, okay? And when I'm not doing those things, I also see the difference, okay? And I'm telling you this coming from somebody who has been there and who is still trying to develop and grow in these things. Praying extensively in tongues will unlock the potential of your spirit. And please don't spend your time praying in tongues to solve a problem. Spend your time praying in tongues to develop and grow your spirit. Say, build up your faith. You are growing your faith. You are growing your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. You are amplifying the power of your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So even though you might receive a word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God, but you can amplify what the power and the potential of what you have received when you pray extensively in the Holy Spirit. It's just like charging a phone for 30 minutes and charging a phone for 1 hour. The result is not the same. Again, you have to learn to listen with your heart when praying. When you are studying the word of God, when you are in church, when you are in the midst of believers, learn to listen not just with your ears, but with your heart. This is a very primary whip key for those of us, especially who hear God by the hearing of the ear or through your knower, or you have inner visions, closed visions. When you are talking to somebody or when someone is talking, try to listen to them with your spirit and not just with your ears. Number four, always learn to be silent when you are with the Lord. A lot of us, and I'm not saying not to talk when praying. I'm saying that even when you are praying, try to develop a sense of being quiet in your spirit so that you can receive from the Lord. You may have a notebook and a pen beside you, and as the Lord brings those impressions to your heart, you start writing them down in your journal. You've got to prepare as though you know the Lord is going to speak directly to you. Learn to be silent. Some of us are very noisy in our minds. We are very noisy. We could be thinking of 10 different things at the same time. So learn to be silent before the Lord. Finally, learn to be alone with the Lord in meditation. Learn to be alone with the Lord in meditation. Sometimes you may be alone with the Lord for like 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes, and you are not really praying. You are just in a state of meditation. And you could be in that mode for 1 hour, you know, just meditating on scriptures, meditating on the presence of God, meditating on the glory of God, meditating on the word of God, meditating on supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You are just meditating and your spirit is getting seriously primed, you know, just primed and becoming very charged and very powerful. In that state, it is very easy to discern the voice of God. Praise the Lord.